Let me invite you, as you're able now, to stand together for the call to worship. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Hosanna in the highest. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he. Humble and riding on a donkey. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Let us pray. God of all, you gave your only Son to take the form of a servant and to be obedient even to death on a cross. Give us the same mind of Christ Jesus so that, sharing in his humility, we may come to be with him in glory. Our Lord, who reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Let me invite you now to join together as we pray the prayer of confession and confess our sinfulness before the Lord in all honesty. Let us pray. O King of glory, we confess that our praise of your majesty has been faint. We have often surrendered to the enemy by our secret and our known sins. For our treason, you died, Lord Jesus. For our restoration, you rose again. Draw us closer to you in this holy week, that our eyes may catch the vision of your tears, and that our hearts may be amazed at the wonder of your grace. Praise be to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Long ago, the crowd shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." For Christ came into this world not to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. Friends, it is in Christ that we are forgiven. Amen. Our children have been working very hard on some songs, so they're going to come now and present some songs to us as we continue our worship. As they come forward, why don't you greet someone close by and let them know you're glad to see them today. Didn't they do a great job? A great way to remind us of what Palm Sunday is really all about. Now, I've got a little surprise. Thank you for all of you children, for all the work that you did. But Sean, will you come here? Sean isn't here every Sunday, and some of the Sundays that he's gone, he is actually traveling around the nation, going to other states on Bible quiz competition. And so I wanted you to know about that. And I didn't tell Sean I was going to do this because I was afraid he'd tell me no. But Sean, you were telling me Wednesday about some of the verses. Was Exodus 24:12, was that one of them?
Yeah.
Hold a microphone and tell us Exodus 24:12. What does that say? Yeah, so they can hear you.
And the Lord said to Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there, and I'll give thee tables of stone and the law of commandments which I have written that thou mayest teach them.
Isn't that great? Sean, I'm thankful for you. You're going to Tennessee for your next competition. That's fine, just as long as you come back. Okay? All right. We're proud of you. Well, thank you so much. Are there any other children that would like to go to children's church? You can come up now and join them, and everybody else can head out to children's church. Thank you very much. I know it's Palm Sunday, and you already know the story, right? You've heard the story before. You think you know what Palm Sunday is all about. Did you know that even today on this Palm Sunday, if you traveled to Israel, to Jerusalem, if you look at that picture that I put in your bulletin, there's nobody in that picture. But today, in that very site, there are thousands of people waving palm branches, Christians celebrating Palm Sunday as they walk the same path that Jesus walked. By the way, I'd be glad for you to join me. I'm going to be walking that path next year, next June. But walking that path, the same path that Jesus did to enter the city of Jerusalem. But I want you to listen to Matthew tell that story. Look with me at Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. I want you to hear Matthew tell this story and notice how he ties this story of the events of what we call Palm Sunday in with all that God was doing in all of human history, specifically what he did with Israel in what we call Old Testament times. And then he brings the spotlight on Jesus and shows that Jesus is at center stage. Jesus is the main character. So look with me at Matthew chapter 21, beginning with verse 1. Listen carefully, for this is God's word to us. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. By the way, Matthew is the only gospel writer to mention two animals instead of one. That's because a previously unridden young colt would not be ridden easily without her mother present. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. That's from the prophet Zechariah. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted these words from Psalm 118, Hosanna, which means save me. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked this, Who is this? The crowds answered, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. So what is the most important question today? It is not who is going to win the Masters. They had to move up tee times. I know it's going on right now. I'll try to get you home for the back nine, okay? It's not that. It's not predictions about the stock market. What will the stock market do the rest of this year? It's not about your grades. What grades will you get at the end of this year? It's not about how your prom pictures turned out from last night. It's not about what job will I get next? Will I get that promotion? No, the most important question that any of us could ask today is the question that these crowds ask. Who is this? Who is this? And of course, the answer came back. This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. You see, God has been at work and in his world since the beginning, since creation. If you take the big story of the Bible, God created all things, and then there was the fall. Human sin entered the equation. And then there was the story about the flood. Some of us have been wondering lately if there's going to be another flood, all the rain. But the story about Noah and the flood, and then God called Abraham. He's going to make a special people out of him. And then they went into bondage, and God freed them from bondage through the Exodus and Moses, brought them to the promised land. Then there was the time of the judges, and then the time of the kings and the prophets. God sent prophet after prophet to his people to try to correct them and tell them what to do. And then there was the building of the temple, and then the time when the people were taken away from the land to Babylon and the temple was destroyed. And then there was the rebuilding of another temple. And then, as far as the Bible goes, it's almost as if time stopped. There were no more books being written that we call the Bible now. And there was this time period when it seemed, what is God? Has God stopped working in this world? Has God stopped working through Israel? Is this it? Is this the end? Little did they know, God was up to something. God was about to do his greatest work in all of human history. Instead of sending others, God was going to come himself to this world. And what will God do when he comes? Well, the prophets had talked about the day of the Lord, when the Lord would come in a special way, and many times it was talked about as a day of judgment and gloom. Will God come and destroy us? No, God is going to come and save us. That's the story of Jesus. It's the story that the entire Old Testament has been leading up to, even though they didn't really understand that. You know, there are hundreds of times that the New Testament writers quote the Old Testament, like in the passage I just read, and thousands of times that they allude to something in the Old Testament or leave hints of specific phrases. Let me ask you a trivia question this morning, okay? If I had a $100 bill, I'd put it down and bet you that nobody could answer it. But, you know, I'm not a betting man, so I'm not going to do that. What Old Testament verse is quoted the most in the New Testament? The answer is Psalm 110:1, one that you would never think of. You think, why are they quoting that one all the time? Let me read that verse to you in case you wonder what it is. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. The Lord says to my Lord, God speaks to David's Lord, who we know now as Jesus, and says, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. In other words, your enemies seem great. They seem like they're winning the day, but there will come a day when all your enemies will be destroyed and you will reign. Now, the name Jesus is not found in the Old Testament, but his footprints are there all the way through the writings of what we call the Old Testament. It's not as if the prophets spell out literally and exactly what will happen, but if you add up all that they say after Jesus comes, you see that all of the writings are foreshadowing what Jesus is going to do in this world. Jesus himself pointed this out. He quoted scriptures and said, this is who I am. Remember the story at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry? He was in Nazareth, his hometown, and he stood up in the synagogue to read the Isaiah scroll, opened the scroll and read these words. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to see the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now that was scripture from Isaiah. He read that just like anybody else would read the scripture at the synagogue. But then he rolled up the scroll and sat down, and with everyone's eyes fastened on him, he said, today this scripture is fulfilled. It was his way of saying, I am the one that Isaiah was pointing forward to. And then at the end of his ministry, between his resurrection and his ascension, he met with his disciples. He ate a piece of broiled fish with them and then said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Do you realize the Hebrew scriptures are divided into three sections? The first section, the law of Moses. The second section, the prophets. The third section is usually called the writings, but the most prominent book in the writings is the Psalms. So he refers to the three sections of the Hebrew scriptures, what we call the Old Testament, and said, it's all the way through. Everything written about me must be fulfilled. And so I titled the sermon today, Christ is all. Christ is what the Bible is all about. Christ is at the center of human history between BC and AD. Christ is the answer to the meaning of life. And Christ wants to be at the center of your life. I borrow that title, Christ is all, from Colossians 3:11, where Paul writes, Christ is all. If you notice in your bulletin, there are three things I want to point out about that today. First, Christ is all the message of the whole Bible. The message of the whole Bible. And if you'll look at the insert in your bulletin titled Jesus in Every Book of the Bible, I had to read the whole Bible to prepare for this sermon. I set out to find, there are lots of different people that do this and do it in different ways, but sometimes they just pick a theme from a book of the Old Testament. But I set out to find a specific thing so I could give you the actual verse in every book of the Old Testament. Now, I'm not saying by this that, for example, in the book of Genesis 49:10, it mentions a king in the line of Judah. I'm not saying that they understood at that time that it would be a Messiah and the Messiah would be like Jesus. They did not fully understand that. But as you add up all the things that were said and were written, you come to the conclusion that all of them were pointing to Jesus. For example, guess what? There are 12 tribes in Israel. They're very clear about making sure which tribe they are a member of so that everybody in Israel knows, I belong to this tribe. Guess which tribe Jesus' family came from? The tribe of Judah, just like it was foreshadowed in the book of Genesis. And over, you can read through all of these. Do you want me to take the time to go through every one of them? I didn't think you would. But you can read them and see that all the way through the Old Testament is pointing forward to Jesus. And then all the way through the New Testament, after Jesus had come, each book points to something specific about Jesus. Christ is all the message of the Bible. So that if you neglect Christ in your life, you're neglecting what the Bible is all about. From cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation. And then secondly, Christ is all the answer to your questions. The answer to your questions. Jesus said on the night before he died, he gathered with his disciples, taught them many things. One of the things he said in John 14:6 was, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, Christ is the way. He is the path from one point to another, from sin's ruin to the Father. To the question of, how can I be reconciled with God? I'm a sinner. I can't make myself good enough for God. How can I be brought in one relationship with a holy God? Christ is the way. Christ is the answer. And then he says, I am the truth. I'm the truth about God. That God is personal and holy and merciful and loving and compassionate. So all your questions about God, you can look at Jesus. Jesus is the truth. He is the answer. And then he says, I am the life. Remember the story of the prodigal son, the son that ran away from his father, and then he came back, and the father said, my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost, but now is found. That's the way it is with us and our God. We sinned against him. We ran from him. We were lost from him. But in Jesus, we are found because Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You know, there are a lot of people who claim to have a great life. And sometimes I look at some of them and I'm jealous. Wow, they're having a lot of fun. Wow, they're doing things I don't get to do. But yet, Jesus said, you know, the most abundant life is not found outside Jesus, it's found in Jesus. He said, I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. The better life, the best life in Jesus Christ. So he is the answer to your questions. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And then thirdly, Christ is all you need. Christ is all that you need. Now, when I was writing this sermon, I got to this point, it reminded me of a song that I learned as a child. I think about these children and how important it is for them to learn about Jesus now, to learn these songs, to learn Bible verses, because it will stick in their minds the rest of their lives. Now, we can't say for sure where that will take them or what they will do, but I do know that that will stay in their minds, and God can use that. I know that God uses things from my childhood, and this is one of them. There was a song, it's a very simple song, it goes like this. Christ is all I need, Christ is all I need, He's all I need. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. He's all I need. Just a very simple song, but that thought is so profound. I'm still trying to learn what that means. Because you know what? I'm still looking for my needs in other places. I do it all the time. It's called sin. Looking for what I think I need in places other than Jesus Christ. Maybe this will make me happy. If I just get to this point in my life, if I just have this, then I'll feel fulfilled and happy. No, Christ is all that you need. What is your need today? Whatever it is, and I know there are many, but whatever it is, I believe that Christ is the answer to your need. That same Christ who rode on a donkey into Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday some 2,000 years ago, and he is still calling you to come to him, to believe in him, to find, test him, and find that in him you'll find everything that you need. Let us pray. Well, Lord, we thank you for these events of human history. This is not just a fairy tale, but something that really happened a long time ago. And in understanding who Jesus is through looking at the entire Bible, we come to the conclusion that indeed, Christ is all. Life is not what it was meant to be without Christ. My life is not fulfilled without Jesus Christ. So, Lord, on this day, help us to turn our attention to him, to know that in him we find all that we need. Help us to bring our questions, our fears, our doubts, our worries, bring all of them to our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for many who are in need in this world this day, those in the hospital, those that are facing cancer treatments. Pray for each of those that you might be with them in the midst of their fear, that you would provide the strength that they need. We thank you for the new life of Jameson Deming and pray that you'd be with Maggie and Jonathan as they seek to raise him in a way that would honor you and give them the strength that they need. Lord, we thank you that we can always come to you in every time of life, good and bad, and know that you hear our prayers, that you listen, and that you care, even when we wonder if anybody else in this world even cares. We know by faith that you do. So we thank you for that as we pray together in the name of our Savior Jesus, who long ago taught his followers to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." You'll notice in your bulletin that for the choir's anthem, there's a portion that we're going to join in singing. You can remain seated. But watch for that place, and then let us join together in singing.
Children, sing.
Praise be to God. Thanks to God for that wonderful music. And now, I'm thankful for all the musicians and the choir, but special word of thanks right now for Betsy and for Barbara. Thank you so much for playing this wonderful offertory, the Palms. So let us now present our gifts to the Lord in thanksgiving. Lord our God, on this day we're thankful for our Savior Jesus, who was willing to ride humbly into Jerusalem, even though he knew what it would mean for him that week. indeed, that he was willing to give his all, give his life for us. Lord, we cannot repay you, but we want to give what we can to show you that we love you and appreciate all that you've done for us in and through our Savior, Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Jesus rides on that donkey to enter Jerusalem, just as the prophet had foretold. Let me invite you to take that insert, Jesus in every book of the Bible, home with you, and start looking up some of those in your Bible, finding some maybe you didn't even know were there, to remind you that indeed Jesus is the story of the Bible. Jesus is to be the center of your life. So as you go from this place, may you know that Jesus Christ is your Savior. He came for you, he rode for you, he died for you, and indeed he rose again. Thanks be to God, now and forever. Amen.